Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to mini episode 332 of Real Life Ghost Stories, and I have two spooky stories for you today, and the last story comes from December the 16th, 2023, and story number one comes from Anonymous. The reason I chose to share a story is because I've heard so many stories on the podcast about the Hat Man that I needed to share my experiences. It's worth noting that until I heard this podcast, I thought the Hat Man was an individual experience. I had absolutely no idea that so many people have also seen him, so that was terrifying. But here we go. My first experience with the Hat Man was by far the scariest, but also the most comforting because I was not alone. I grew up in a mostly rural town in the United States. When I was in middle school, so maybe 12 years old, I had a friend, Jane. Jane and I weren't best friends, but we lived close enough that I could walk to her house through a field and we always had fun together. Most nights that we were together, we would sit in her basement, which was the computer room, and watch videos on YouTube or play games. Nothing strange had ever happened to Jane and I genuinely enjoyed our many visits. Jane had two other sisters, and they lived with their mother and great aunt. Everyone in Jane's family were genuinely the nicest people you'd ever meet, but her great aunt was especially lovely. She didn't speak much as she was very old, but always smiled and just genuinely had such warmth. One night, Jane and I were sitting down in the basement and were watching videos on her computer. The basement had no windows. To get to the basement, there was a set of stairs, and immediately at the bottom of the stairs, to the left, was a spare room where they stored boxes and whatnot. To the right of the stairs was the entire basement, couch, TV, etc. And in the direct opposite corner of the stairs landing was where the computer desk was, facing a wall. The computer desk only had one chair, so we would either share the chair, alternate who was sitting, or sit on each other's laps while playing on the computer. So that night we'd spent maybe hours on the computer, God bless the mid-2000s, watching YouTube videos. Out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw something move on the stairs. This wasn't abnormal, as Jane's two younger sisters would often come down to play with us, as little sisters do. Assuming it was one of the sisters, I thought nothing of it, but turned to look at the stairs to my right. Jane and I were sharing the singular chair in front of the computer, and she was sitting on the right half, so when I had turned my head to the right, I could see she had also turned her head to the right. Then, both looking to the right directly at the stairs, we saw a man walking slowly down the stairs. Neither of us knew what we were seeing. She didn't have any male relatives. Her mother had no male friends. The strangest part was this man and what he was wearing. The man walking down the stairs, one step at a time, was wearing black pants, a black trench coat, and a black brimmed hat. He was a bit older, maybe slightly heavier, and absolutely pale white. He walked one step at a time down the stairs, never looking at us. I'm not sure how long it took him to descend, but neither of us said a word. We just sat there frozen. I'm not sure what it was because I had experienced odd experiences before, but it was the singular most terrifying moment I've ever felt. As soon as he had gotten to the bottom of the steps, he turned left, opened the door to the storage room, walked in and shut the door behind him. Immediately after the door shut, my friend and I, at the exact same time, fell, or rather dove, under the desk of the computer and sobbed. I remember that moment so distinctly because I was squeezing my eyes as tightly as I could and gasping for breath, as my friend and I blindly tried grabbing and hugging each other. After maybe 5 minutes of sobbing and holding each other, we both got up, wiped our tears and walked up the stairs. We didn't check the storage room. We didn't need to. We knew no one was in there. We didn't mention what had happened to her family. We never talked about it again. We knew that we had shared that and that was it. Jane's great aunt passed away a few days later. Needless to say, we didn't go down to watch YouTube videos for a few months afterwards. The second time I saw him was less terrifying, almost just surreal. A few years had passed. I was maybe 14 or 15 and was at my best friend's home, another girl. This girl was truly my best friend. We spent every day together. We called each other's parents mom and dad, and we felt more like sisters. My home was her home and her home was mine, and sometimes I would leave to hang out somewhere while she stayed in her room. One day I decided to go out on her trampoline while she stayed inside on her laptop. Like I said previously, we lived in a rural area, so her home was in the middle of a clearing in the forest. More often than not, if I went out on her trampoline, a bunch of deer would walk out of the woods to see what the noises were. So that afternoon I was bouncing alone, hanging out, when I heard what sounded like twigs snapping and footsteps. I didn't think much of it, assuming it was another deer coming to watch me do all those sick front flips, clearly. After a few minutes of bouncing, I jumped and laid down, and that's when I saw. Out past the clearing, maybe 30 feet away, was the same man I had seen 2 years prior. Pale, dressed in a black trench coat, gloves and a black brimmed hat. He stood there in the distance, staring at me. This time I didn't experience as intense fear, but felt so discomforted. I'd assumed the black hat man was somehow tied to Jane or Jane's great aunt. But there he was, standing there, staring at me, this time with me staring back. After a few moments and uneasiness, after the realization that he was not connected to Jane's home, he turned and walked back into the trees. I sat there for a few minutes, and that was that. Finally, I hadn't seen the hat man for quite a few years. So fast forward to a few years ago and I had moved away to college. For college I had left my small town and chose to study in a large city. I loved the city and still do. I'm sorry rural America, but 18 years was enough. This encounter was the strangest and still the most inexplicable to me because I was the only one who experienced it. Like I said, I had chosen to go to school in a city and this city was bustling. I loved living in a city because beyond always having things to do, people around, etc., I never felt overwhelmed. I felt comfort in the fact that while in the middle of a crowded street, I could still feel alone. Not in a sad way. It was comforting to know that I was part of millions of people. One day I was walking across the city to one of my classes. To get to class, I had to walk along one of the busiest streets. While walking and shuffling past all of the people on their way to work, museums, whatever, I saw in the middle of all these people, the hat man. It had been maybe 8 years since I had last seen him, but there he was, plain as day. He was standing in the middle of the sidewalk, black trench coat, black hat, black gloves, not moving while everyone else was hurriedly walking around him. No one else seemed to notice him. If you've been in a city, you know the dirty looks, the pushing, the yelling that happens when someone stops in the middle of the sidewalk. PSA, don't stop in the middle of the sidewalk or I'll probably push you too. Here though, no one yelled or pushed, no one gave dirty looks, no one seemed to register this person at all, but he was just there, looking at me. I walked past him without looking back. I didn't need to know if he was still there or still looking at me. It was so odd and so uncomfortable that I didn't want to know anyways. Since then, I haven't seen him. I didn't know other people saw him until this podcast. I still don't know what to make of it. Other people described seeing him during sleep paralysis. That's never happened to me. But I've seen him 3 times, once with someone else. He never changes. He never says anything. I don't want to see him again. I don't want to know what he means or what he wants. But I hope someone else listening might have a shared experience with him coming back years later. Because it's the strangest feeling to know that he'll come back and I'll have no control of it. So there's my story. I have, sadly, tons more with many strange things happening to and around me, but the black hat man who comes in and out of my life is one that I can't shake, and one that I'm most fearful of. He He'll be back someday. I have such a deep understanding that he will be a part of my life. This story feels kind of different to other Hatman stories that we've heard in the podcast before. So like Anonymous pointed out, often when we get Hatman stories, it's the middle of the night and people see this sort of shadowy figure of a man with a wide-brimmed hat that is standing in their doorway or watching them sleep or something along those lines. But this feels a lot more intentional. I hate to say it, but it feels slightly different than our usual Hatman stories because he is appearing in your day-to-day daylight life. And I have to say that while reading this story, all I could picture was the Undertaker of wrestling fame. And I just wondered if every time he appeared, did the lights go off and a funeral bell tolled? Sorry, I don't mean to make light of your story because it does sound absolutely terrifying. And it does make me wonder if this version, this iteration of Hatman is fundamentally connected to you specifically. Like, yes, you and Jane saw him in the beginning walking down the stairs. Very scary to see him in sort of broad daylight walking down the stairs. And of course, it would be reasonable to assume that it was connected to Jane's house or the passing of Jane's great aunt. But apparently not. It sounds like for whatever reason, this version of the Hatman is connected to you. Obviously, inevitably, this is going to be a terrifying thing. And like you said, you don't want to experience it again. But it seems like whatever this is, whoever this is intent and content with just watching you from a distance, which is, it's pretty grim, but it's about all we can hold on to at the moment, I think. And maybe this iteration of the Hatman is like a guardian angel type being who just chose a different outfit, like an emo guardian angel, like a biker or goth guardian angel.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And story number two comes from Sophia. This story took place fairly recently and doesn't have much of a conclusion, as of now anyway. But for my birthday, my mom and I went to this oddie shop in Denver. They sell a bunch of spooky things like human teeth and vintage medical tools. We'd been trying to go there for months but never managed until we drove by on my birthday and noticed that it was open, so we decided to check it out. It was a really cool place and the person working was super nice. On a glass table there were two different boxes full of skeleton keys. I rummaged through to look at a few while my mom talked to the person working about skeleton keys. She showed her one she still had from an old apartment that she lived in. While she did that, I found a skeleton key and I picked it up, and my first thought was, oh cool, this reminds me of stars for some reason, and I was going to put it back when I stopped myself. I turned it over a few times in my hand and noticed that it felt weirdly important or weirdly familiar. So I decided to buy it, and as I did, I texted my friends, specifically one friend of mine, Cody. Cody and I have been friends since the fourth grade. We're both into witchcraft and the paranormal, and when one of us has something paranormal happen to us, we call each other for advice or just consultation. There was one paranormal experience I had that I might share at one point that was honestly terrifying, but that's a story for another day. Naturally, when I decided to buy a mysterious skeleton key, my first instinct was to text them. I told them about the key and sent them a picture, and they also said that the key felt weirdly important. I bought the key and made it into a necklace with a chain that I bought from a craft store that same night. Nothing noteworthy happened immediately after that, though I mentioned to the person working that I'm very into Greek mythology, and they recommended that I try praying to Hecate for guidance about the key, because keys is one of her things. As of writing this, I have yet to try it, but I mentioned it to Cody, and the same night I did, I got two fortunes in my fortune cookie, and one of the fortunes said, "Remember, 1 month from now, on this date, good things are in store for you." It's probably nothing, but it still freaked me out a little. I'm writing this on the 15th of December, and it said the day was going to be December the 28th. So I've yet to see if it's true or not, but I guess we'll see. I have a Polaroid camera that I'd been using to take pictures all of that trip when we were in Denver. And looking back through, I noticed I looked a bit blurry in a few where I had the key. Though I also have a ring that I know is alive in some way. The ring's name is Angelica, and though she's never messed with photos I've taken before, most of the photos were on my phone, so I figured it was her affecting the Polaroids. I was wrong. One night I was on the phone with Cody, and we were talking about dreams that we had had, and the topic of the blurry Polaroids came up, and Cody suggested that it might be because of the key. So I ran a little experiment with my Polaroid. I stood in front of a mirror and took two identical Polaroid pictures. The only difference was one was taken with the key and one without. I have included a picture of the Polaroids, and as you can see, the one where I'm wearing the key, my face is completely blurred out. I showed them to my friend and they suggested that it was maybe the flash of the camera reflecting off the key, but I doubted, because that would be the first time it blurred my entire face out. Not to mention the key is rather small and tarnished, and I doubt it could make the flash of the camera bright enough to completely block my face out of a picture. I told Cody, and we were both utterly confused and freaked out. I showed the pictures to my mom and she told me to get rid of the key, but I didn't, because I still feel like I'll need it for something. For what, I'm not sure. The key doesn't feel bad, just powerful. I might try asking Angelica about it. She talks to me occasionally and I feel like she might have advice on this, but we'll see. But anyways, for now I still have the key and nothing has happened, but I'll update you if that changes. Update. So this is a little random, but I said I'd update if something happened. A few days ago, I took the key off to shower and forgot to put it back on for a while. There's an entity in the living room who doesn't like me very much. Cody and I have a story about that. And when I was heading to bed last night, I got frustrated with it and flipped it off. I got up shortly after laying down to get water. And as I got up, I noticed the key on my nightstand and put the necklace back on. Because it was Christmas, I'd spent most of the day in the living room. So I headed there for a moment to see if I had a glass in there that I'd been using or not. I didn't. So I headed to the kitchen, and as I did, I felt like when you get the wind knocked out of you because you can't inhale properly. I started a little and went to take off my necklaces. The key first, because it fits over my head, and when I took it off, I could breathe again. The key also had a weird weight to it that I didn't have before. I was really freaked out and set it in a circle of salt and went to talk to Angelica. She helped me calm down and told me to rest, that we'd talk about the key later and that she'd keep me safe in the meantime. I'm not sure if it was actually the key or the spirit in the living room, since it has a history of attempting to choke me, but I'm really weirded out about it overall. So Sophia did include the pictures of the key, etc., and the pictures of the Polaroid pictures in this email. And I'm not going to put them on social media purely because Sophia is under the age of 18. I don't feel comfortable posting pictures of somebody under the age of 18 on all of my social media channels, even if they have sent those pictures themselves. So I can assure you, though, I can absolutely assure you from those two pictures that in one picture, in one Polaroid, Sophia is clearly visible. And in the next Polaroid, you can see that they have the key, the skeleton key necklace on, but then their face is obscured by, it's almost like a flash, but the flash isn't visible in the other picture. It's very strange. I'm very glad, Sophia, that you and Cody have each other to have these conversations with and to bounce off each other and to be able to call them up and say, "Hey, this weird thing happened. Can I run it by you?" Because I think that's very important in friendships, to have somebody that you are on a level with that you can have kind of maybe difficult or unusual conversations with. The other thing I will say is that if this key feels like it's weirding you out, or it feels like it has the potential to cause harm to you, because, you know, being strangled is not the vibe. It's not the thing that we're going for around here. So if it feels like it has the ability to be powerful, that it's weirding you out, that it's making you feel uncomfortable. I have to say, I agree with your mom on this one, to just maybe potentially consider getting rid of it. Because you know what? Just getting through day to day is hard enough, you know. School is tricky, it's tiring. Having friends is tricky, it's tiring. Life is tricky, it's tiring. You don't need to add a spooky skeleton key to that to make everything more tricky, more weird and more tiring. But obviously, Sophia, keep us updated either way. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Thank you to Anonymous and Sophia for sending in your stories. Remember, the last story came from December the 16th, 2023. If you would like to send in your story, you can do so by emailing it to reallifeghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out the website reallifeghoststoriespodcast.com. And if you are desperate for some extra content, you can subscribe to the Patreon. That is patreon.com/reallifeghoststories, where for $5 a month or $2 a month, you get access to heaps of extra content, as well as every single main and mini episode completely ad-free. And on that note, I shall see you next time.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.